You think they do the underhand thing?
Pizza. Underhand?
Yeah, have you ever seen a drummer do the thing where when they have cymbal hits like this, they just go like this?
Is it for comedic purposes or does it have a different sound?
No, I think they do it on not for comedic purposes. I think they do it for some reason. What that reason is?
I think it is comical, but that should take less energy. Rather than going up and then down and then back up and then down, use the same motion that's required. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it also plays louder because the cymbal's coming down too, so it's like...
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Damn. Acoustics, welcome to Best of Five. We're a fighting game talk show, supposedly. My name is Elon. I'm joined here with the legend Automatic. Automatic, how you doing, man?
Probably leaning in his chair too much.
Nah, there's no such thing. I'll lean with you.
I had so much pizza today, man.
Damn, you're the one that had pizza? Cool. I had tacos this morning. It's like we're switching roles here. They weren't quesabirria, but, you know.
I considered that route.
Tacos?
Little Caesars got my back, though.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. I still have never had Little Caesars, ever.
Oh, nothing to brag about, but your wallet, it will feel nice.
Is it still the $5?
No.
Okay. Inflation got him.
It's about $10 for the extra most bestest. A little less than 10.
Okay.
Like 8.
Okay. Because I remember when I lived in New York, it was always the Little Caesars $5 hot and ready.
Yeah, dude. That's the best ingredients. Heat and availability. That's their main two selling points.
But it was kind of hard to get Little Caesars when you could go next door and get like... 2 slices and a can of Coke for 99 cents, you know? But them's the good old days, and now everything's expensive and sad. Speaking of sad, welcome to Best of Five, like I said. We got a pretty packed show today, so let's just get right into it, shall we? We're going to talk about all the tournaments that happened this weekend. There was, like, minimum 2. But there was way more than 2. So a couple weeks ago, we had the crew from Low Kick Esports over, and this past Friday was their final weekly that they lost their venue to, and it's the largest weekly in the United States, so they're currently on hiatus now. We had Texas Showdown, Level Up Expo, a little tournament called Evo Japan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, and like a billion others. But man, because of Evo Japan, we got hella news. What do you have a favorite announcement that of what happened this weekend?
The Akuma trailer was pretty good. Lydia looked, it wasn't really too much. It was more like this character's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Looked all right. I didn't really get my ears not to the ground when it comes to the Tekken community or like a overall feel of how they are like, oh, this is cool. I don't know, but Akuma looks pretty good. But as good as he looks, I'm more interested in the changes for the game, like the system mechanics.
Yep, and we will talk about that, along with all of the other announcements that came out of Evo Japan. But before we do, I didn't have a chance to do the actual recap this afternoon, so we're going to do a quick and dirty of everything. Are you ready? Okay.
You ever eat your yawn? Sorry.
Always. Dude, I have this... Man, when I was in... I don't know why I'm opening this can of worms right now, but when I was in high school, every time I would yawn, like, I would, like, something would happen in my throat where I would, like, kind of burp. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Where you yawn and it's like... So I got super self-conscious about yawning, so eating yawns is what I do best now.
Oh. I eat yawns for breakfast.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to these, shall we? First, Level Up Expo, Guilty Gear Strive, Idom won it. Chris G got third.
What?
Sun A Scheme?
The fuck?
Got second. Baru, Sparrow, Everest, Aeon, Bran, and McBat rounded out the top 8. For Street Fighter 6, Chris G won it. Over JB in the grand finals, Knuckle Dude taking third, Just a Kid on the 4th. Noah the Prodigy, Duo Kevin Time for 5th, Mothman and Prototype. Time for 7th. Look at that top 9, though. Summer Soldier, Samurai, Barry, Idom, and then tied for 13th, LPN coming out of the woodworks, Deus, T-Nuts McNasty, and Enzo the Hokage. And last but not least, what we're covering from Level Up Expo, we had Fear of Silence winning those big 96-plus Tekken World Tour Dojo points over Hendo. A very rib taking third. Way Gamble back in action taking fourth. Dr. the Jake Man, MD, medical doctor. Project Runway. Project Runaway. Project Runaway is the show. Sam and Jackie Tran. Dude, Jackie Tran coming out of the woodworks getting top eight. That's awesome. Happy to see him over there. Next, one a little closer to heart for me. Texas Showdown. Guilty Gear Strive taken by Kazam over Rat in the grand finals. Walter, Van Swarm, Blue Sky Guy, BSG, Kermit, Tease, and Izzy rounding out the rest of the top eight. Tying for ninth, Frank and Tank, Ponchers, Suicune, and your boy Squanto. And tying for 13th, Stank Boys, Beluga, Muffins, and Laura. Just important to note, this tournament last year was won by Snake Eyes. Using the Potemkin. It was pretty sick. Street Fighter 6, Brian F. Brian F. was there. He took it over Sickle. Aziz Sensei, the old Vega player from... I say old, I mean Vega player from Street Fighter 5. Coming out, taking the big... third, Melbu taking fourth, Fatty Mikey, and Hamad. Hamad coming out of the woodworks. Hamad plays on a pad now. Can you imagine that? Like, if you rewind like 5-6 years ago, like, and you would tell, and if you would have told Hamad he was playing, he would play on a pad, he would punch you in the face, I think. Ramsar.
Makes sense, though.
Say again?
It makes sense. Makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Get more buttons.
Absolutely. Ramsar, fellow headband liker, Rashid player, tying for seventh, along with Killer Instinct legend Bass. So that's pretty cool. Tying for ninth, Kaiser, Mr. Madgear out of San Antonio, Sinister X, who's Rudy. He's a really, really good dude, man. I hadn't seen him in a hot minute, and we saw each other for the first time since pre-pandemic. That was pretty awesome. A good sim player. Tied for 13th, Hokotoa Blues Enforcer and Super Samian. Pretty sick. And then... the big event, this is what everybody was there for, another Dojo 96 Plus event. You couldn't have another Master event because there's rules in the Tekken World Tour this year that you cannot have two Master events happening in the same weekend, which is a very bizarre rule, I think. But, you know, what can you do? NG Obscure taking it over Joe Crush, America's hero from the Tekken World Tour Finals last year. Trojan taking third, Anakin showing up and taking fourth. Dastry and Trizzy the Rapper tying for fifth, and Flo God and Rel tying for seventh. Genghis Don, another, like, Evo's American hero from last year, tying for ninth. Careless Austin guy, also VSAV player. He's kind of the reason. So completely off kilter, I sent Automatic a DM the other day that was like, man, you want to learn VSAV? Careless also took fifth in Vampire Savior over the weekend. I didn't know he was a Vampire Savior player, but really cool dude. Dragunov 108 is tying for ninth, and Shawfather. Jermanji on the tying for 13th, Yoshi player, along with Squirrel Prince. Sokobi, the person who won Frosty Faustings earlier this year. Earlier this year, right? Frosty Faustings? I don't know. It was the first Tekken 8 tournament. I forget when it was. And Commander. All time for 13th. Now, let's get to the big kahuna. I'm just trying to get through these as fast as possible. Grand Blue versus Evil Japan. Rookies is now qualified for the Arc World Tour 2024. Gamera, Tororo, Ren, Takodot, Kino, Shosan, and Hinoki Nobu all going up for top 8 and getting themselves some points for this Arc World Tour Platinum event for Grand Blue versus. King of Fighters, 15. ET, once again, taking it over Shaohai in the grand finals. M-Dash taking third. Mad KOF, Score, Pineapple, Lagia, and Moke all taking the rest of the top eight. And man, dude, the list for tied for ninth and tied for 13th is crazy. Tied for ninth, Tamago, Dark Angel, Shawan, and Katsuji. And tied for 13th, Evo Champion ZJZ, RB, Hisa, and Coco. So pretty sick. If you haven't gotten to see it, go check it out. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, quite possibly the largest Third Strike tournament to ever happen, ever, was taken by Sho, taking first place over Boss, taking second place Rikimaru on the third place, UCC on the fourth place, Michael Tan and Yakun sharing fifth, and Derun and Kudai sharing seventh. Yomoda, Rao, Kuni, and Tommy tying for ninth, and Yone, Chairithi, wow, that's a name I haven't seen in a hot minute, Ru, yep, and Dot tying for 13th. Pretty sick. Guilty Gear Strive, another Arc World Tour Platinum event. Tempest just kind of cleaned house. The dude lost like two games the entire tournament. What the hell?
What happened?
That guy just like was not playing around. He was there for the qualification and he got it. I think it might have been because of 2 years ago he qualified out of Frosty Faustings, which was the last chance to qualify for Arc World Tour Finals. So I think that anxiety got him working real hard, and he's the first person to qualify. Sanakan taking second, Turara taking third, Migu Migu Dokoi taking fourth, my favorite player Gobo tying for fifth, along with past Arc World Tour Finals champion Mochi, Leffen taking the big seventh place along with Rang 13. Pretty sick. Also, check that out on tied for ninth. Gesui and Supernoon tying for ninth on this very, very stacked tournament. Nadaimi, Ganejin, and Cal all rounding out the top nine. And tied for 13th, the Lord, Korea's hero, the Ino hero, Daru Ino, Tatuma, Raz, and Ain. So pretty sick, pretty sick. Not surprisingly, not the largest tournament this weekend at Evo Japan. Tekken 8 Master Plus event, one of two Master Plus events on the tour this year. Chikorin with Lily taking it over the tier enthusiast low high, picking Dragunov to take home those 800 points. Chanel taking third, Manja taking fourth, Double and Infested sharing fifth, and John Ding in Tekken Master, living true to his name, and are very famous for being an NRS player, but now a Tekken player. Well, he's always been a Tekken player. Mogold, CB, Cherry Berry Mango, Yagami, and Kakoma tying for ninth, and Male Ill, Rang Chu, Pinya, and Book tying for 13th. Holy crap, that's a lot of names. That's a lot of really, really big names that I'm sure at any other, like, if you ran this tournament about four times, it would be like this list would just be shifted around.
I wish you could do that. That would be tough.
Yeah, me too. Like, can we have like multiple brackets of one tournament? as if running a tournament isn't a logistical nightmare enough. Last but not least, cementing himself as quite possibly the best player ever of Street Fighter 6 and Street Fighter 5, MenRD, very easily taking this tournament over Kakaru, the perfect parry god, Lex taking third place, Ryukichi on the fourth, and VX Bao and Moke tying for fifth, and Niang Lang and Xiao Hai not only doing well in KOF, but also doing well in Street Fighter 6 this time around. Tied for ninth, my favorite player ever, Hotdog29, Tokido, the Lord, Baruji, and Kosa, and tied for 13th, check this list out, Problem X, Matsu56, Chris Wong, and Kobayan. Ooh. That was a lot of reading. Also, that's a lot of like huge names that at any point could win. Like the level of competition lately in the FGC has been so crazy that like at any point, like anybody can win a tournament. It's gotten to the point where it's like, you know, you have the casual players who take up about this much, and then you have the competitive players who take up about this much, and then you have the top competitive players who take up about this much, right? And like the competition is so crazy, crazy close. It's cool. I like seeing it. Do you enjoy Evo Japan this weekend?
I've only watched Third Strike. Pretty much I've only seen the Third Strike footage. I was about to watch the Street Fighter 6 footage, but admittingly, watching the Third Strike top six got me kind of bored. So I just signed off and ate a pizza. But so, it's on my to-do list. Watch Street Fighter 6. That's pretty much about it, though.
Was there an issue with character variety in Third Strike? I mean, not that there, I wouldn't weekend, expect there to be
this weekend or the past 10 years.
Yeah, this weekend, and I ask because I didn't get to see it, and B, I heard a lot of people complaining about it, which I don't know why people were complaining about it. I figured that would be expected.
So the short answer is we're looking at top six. Yeah, yep.
Ken Chun?
True, very frequently, the tournament format for Third Strike, Chun Li and Yun and Ken, though surprisingly, there was no Kens in top 24. Those three characters are just so solid and consistent. If you have, if you're outnumbered by them and you're playing characters that have a lot more room for error, your chances of just progressing further, to quote the great Scott Steiner, they just drastic go down. The further you get, the more likely the Chun player is better than the last one, and you're going to fight another Chun player that you got to play even. It's hard, man. It's like those characters are so powerful. But it's not impossible. It's possible. I just wish it would happen every now and then.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the numbers hey, don't lie.
There was plenty of there was plenty of characters that weren't Chun and Yun in the top 24. There was Hayao with Hugo. There was RB with Ryu and Urien. There's some gang. Koldai did really well. Kuni with Dengen Ryu was in the winner's side of top 24 and wow. top six. Top six? No. He didn't make top six. But in top 24, he almost got there. And, I mean, there's so many matches before that even happens that if one thing just went differently, you would have saw Tominaga's Makoto probably in the winner's side of top 24. So it's just, you know, you make a few mistakes and then boom, Yun player progresses. I mean, a half a mistake, boom, another Yun mistake. I mean, another Yun progresses. Just how it goes, man. That's why tournament formats like team tournaments, single elimination, team single character teams that they do at Club, those are the best type of events for Third Strike. And then silly tournaments, like some dork did a bad supers tournament where you had to pick the bad supers for every character. It went pretty well.
Man, I still, this is like a core memory for me at this point, but the first time I went to go check out Third Strike at Arcade UFO, they did a random team tournament where they would get like the top players at the arcade and they were on a list. And then they would get everybody else who entered and they were on another list. And each top player got paired up with somebody at random. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty sick. That was fun to watch.
Yep.
But along with the high level play, which by the way, I've heard nothing but good things, right? Last year there was a big issue with Evo Japan, with how they were running brackets, with the venue. The venue didn't have air conditioning, so it was miserable for everybody in there. Things were running late. It was just a bad experience. This year, according to Fubar Duck, and I always trust Fubar Duck's word on this, according to Fubar Duck, everything ran on time. Pool runners knew what they were doing. Everybody was comfy. So the big change in leadership, which was Rick taking over, really showed. So,
maybe they gotta make it a little less comfortable for the Chun-Li and Yun players. Make them like their seat is cold. There's AC, but it's blowing in their face. Something, glare on the screen. Maybe take the blanket off that's covering the glare. Just remove it for them. Something like that.
Just get somebody with a laser pointer pointing at the screen. but not only a better tournament this time around, experience wise, not only a good tournament with level of play, also breaking like a tournament of announcements and breaking news. I feel like we haven't seen those in a while, especially after, like, you know, we saw the Tekken World Tour Finals and we saw Capcom Cup, where we didn't really get a lot of like in-game announcements, right? Like, we got like the World Tour announcements and stuff, but there wasn't like a lot of game updates. But this time around, we got game updates. Check this one out for starters. Also, hold on. I want to go back to something here, because there is something about this that makes me laugh every time. Watch this. Oh, I just missed it. Wait, can I go back one frame? No, I cannot. Okay. Wait. It's going to be worth it, I promise. Doesn't it look like he's got buck teeth?
I thought... That's what I thought at first. I was like, wait a minute, does he?
No, it's just like the lighting on his lip. Yeah.
Lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool.
Dude, this is a game I'm looking forward to way more than I thought I ever would.
Same, and to 2x 35 KO. 11 Roman numeral KO.
The project formerly known as L.
Yeah.
Sick.
This is the true path of a Kyokugin warrior. Feel it in your bones.
I love how much more style this game has than KOF, right? Like, KOF feels like it's, like, a little bit on the generic side as far as how it looks. But the stylistic choices in this game feel, to me, like it has a little bit more of its own identity, which I'm a fan of. And it's coming in early 25. Oddly enough, this was one of the games that was playable at Evo Japan. This is the game I heard about the least. I thought I was going to hear a lot about this game, and I thought I was going to see a lot of footage. I have barely seen any footage of people playing this at Evo Japan. Have you seen any of it?
I saw Justin do a combo. I mean, I saw him make a video about doing a combo. I didn't look at the combo. I don't care
about combos. A video about doing a combo. That's pretty funny. But yeah, no, I mean, this, again, like, I don't really understand why I am so interested in this game. Because usually I tend to, usually SNK games just aren't wired for my brain. But maybe this is going to be the one. Maybe this will be the one.
People would often say with Garou, Mark of the Wolves, which is, this is the next iteration of Garou, they would say, oh, Garou is way ahead of its time. They have the cane in their hand. Oh, it's like Dashin Kage's Third Strike. And I think they're right. Seems like they have it's a whole brand of SNK fighting game style. It's just its own thing. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it because Garou, maybe I'm not well informed, but it didn't take off really that. I mean, this is going to do a lot more than Garou ever will do.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like I never heard of Garou until like people started talking about this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It had like a re-release not too long ago, and you could play it online with rollback, but it was lasted for like a cool day. My friend got like top 5 in the leaderboards. I'm like, nice, man. Cool.
Now what? Yeah. City of the Wolves coming out early 2025. It feels like it's forever away. Man, I feel like I say this every time I see a game announcement that's like, oh, we're coming out next year. It's like, I don't even know what tomorrow looks like. How are you expecting me to wait for something?
Can I ask you something out of left field, but related?
Yeah, go for it.
What do you think it's going to take for a game like maybe City of the Wolves to really be a staple? And like, this game is more popular than Street Fighter VI. Do you think they'll ever be able to leave that category of, I guess, side game? To say it that way, but
I think King of Fighter 15 is the closest the King of Fighter has gotten to getting out of that side game.
Mainstream?
Yeah. And I think that happened because people were kind of, I think it was the first like next gen fighter to come out, right? Like, I think Street Fighter 5 was starting to get stale at that point. Tekken 7 was starting to get a little stale at that point. Then King of Fighters 15 came out and people gravitated towards that for a hot minute, right? So I think it's going to take, well, there's a couple of things I think need to happen for that to happen. And one is that Street Fighter 6 has to fall off hard. Just because
it has.
True. I mean, we'll see. We'll see at the end of next month. We'll see. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, I think Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8 have to fall off really hard for that to be the case. Or that game has to just, like, catch fire. Kind of like how Street Fighter 6 has caught fire, right? Like, outside of the fighting game community.
Yeah. Huh.
I think that might be that. And honestly, if it's a fun game to stream and other people outside of the fighting game community get as interested as they have with Street Fighter 6, I think it has a very good chance to do so. Especially since people view it as the third strike of SNK games.
Yeah, probably. I think it's more likely to gain interest because it's not a team-based game. Mm-hmm. Most people are intimidated by KOF, not just because of the system mechanics, but you got to learn 3 characters. But see the Wolves? Just one guy. Lots of mechanics, but just one dude or dudette.
Yeah, yeah, plus Tizoc's in it, you know? And so they're on well on their way.
Street Fighter can't fall off than Street Fighter 5 Bad Days. And even then, it still was untouchable for SNK games. Yeah, even with Street Fighter V, the history of it, the beginning towards like the middle point.
Yeah.
But even then, still kind of reigns supreme, Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Double, the League of Legends fighter, my Jibble Damas, tells me that that's gonna be a player. It could potentially, I don't know if it'll overtake Street Fighter, but you might see more activity for that game than Street Fighter.
So I'm not a big tag fighter game, specifically for the reason of having to learn multiple characters. But there's one tag game that I have played that I enjoy and I miss dearly, and it was Marvel Infinite, right? I don't know what it was about that game. It just, my brain is wired and like to like that game.
About to sound like a 2XKO salesman, but you don't need to learn another character. You can find a teammate.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. 2XKO scratches that Marvel Infinite itch for me. I got to play it at EVO US in 2023. I played it like one first to three set with a couple of the devs and the community manager. And man, dude, like there, look, pulling off. Okay, let me word it this way. Killer Instinct is a game where you have to actively have your mind on, even when you're getting comboed, right? Because you have to combo break, you have to like pay attention. 2XKO is that, except like with four people, right? Everybody has to stay paying attention. If your character is not on the screen, you're still responsible for calling the assist, right?
Yep, two choices, right?
Yeah, you're still responsible for doing like the escape, the burst, right? I forget what it's called, like tag save or whatever. And the person that's on the screen is responsible for calling you in. So even when your character dies, you can still call assists and you can still do the burst saves. So even when you're not, even when your character is not the main character, you still have to actively be working with your teammate. I think that is going to be something that is going to keep people interested quite a bit. Yep. On top of it being a tag game where combos feel really good to do.
One more thing. Did you say that when your character is KO'd, you still are participating? So that means if you lose, you've already embarrassed your friend. And then you can embarrass him again.
Yep.
That's so sick. Can you mess up combos with assist on accident?
Oh, like, yeah.
I bet you can.
1,000%. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be sick.
Oh, like the trolling, too.
Dude, I can't wait to solo queue.
Online?
I can't wait to solo queue. Dude, it's going to be sick. I genuinely, like, that's a game that I am really, really looking forward to. And seeing a lot of the footage coming out with the new character and seeing a lot of people who have already played the game get their hand on the game a little bit more and show, like, what the game can really do, it's messed up. Like, there's a lot of situations that happened from the footage I saw that it's, like, it's a little messed up in a good way. Well, for now. We'll see. We'll see when the unblockables start getting to people. But those weren't the only things that got announced. Because then this got announced as well.
Does this suit me, Shannon?
Oh, how dandy.
My lovely wife is waiting. Let's make this quick.
Music sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Try to calm down. Stress is bad for the blood. Glad to see your energy.
Just
like a dude, I'm already getting like flashbacks of Doom from like Exord Slayer with all like the sway combos and stuff.
I still want to sick. Grief. Obstinacy goes into anger.
Compared to Dudley,
show me your dandyism. No need to worry.
Wait, say that one. Series. Say that one more time. What compared to Dudley?
Compared to Dudley.
Oh, gotcha.
How many years until our rematch? Well,
yeah, and then he turns into a young guy for some reason.
You look cool.
Yeah, pretty sick. And he's coming out a couple days after Akuma does, which is pretty sick. And we also get this cool new stage. Dude, the stages in Guilty Gear Strive are, like, I think my favorite thing about Strive. They're so cool. And yeah, they already announced that Season 4 is coming, so now since Season 3 is now officially over with the release of Slayer, it's time for Season 4. It's time for Season 4.
All right.
You know what's kind of, like, a little bit upsetting? And it makes me want to put, like, a tinfoil hat on and, like, really do some, like, conspiracy theory research.
Not for that.
Slayer coming out May 30th. Akuma coming out May 22nd. What is in between those two? Like, directly. Like, inconveniently in between those two. Combo Breaker.
Oh.
Combo Breaker. I feel like Rick and Combo Breaker always kind of get the shit end of the stick, right? Last year, Street Fighter VI came out like 2 weeks after Combo Breaker, right? And in the past, a lot of big updates. I think even last year, a big Guilty Gear update came out like right before Combo Breaker. So, man, it's so hard to not think that something's going on where they keep placing things so inconvenient for Combo Breaker, because it's at the same time every year, and it always happens every year.
As exciting as it is for a new game to come out, and then you want a tournament, a big tournament, immediately for it, it's really cool. But what if there's something broken you don't know about? And then that gets showcased at the tournament. So It's possible avoiding releasing your game before a major tournament is strategic.
Although, you know what's interesting? And Rick has sent everybody who signed up for Street Fighter VI an email, I'm assuming to gauge like whether people want the new update with Akuma in tournament. And the responses on Twitter to that specific tweet, it feels like a lot of people want to just let it rock. It's not part of the CPT, so they're not beholden to any rules.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, man. Me personally, I would let it rock, man. And if the game's broken, that's Capcom's fault, not Combo Breaker's fault.
Bro, even if it wasn't a CPT, yo, man, I'm tired of seeing the Street Fighter VI meta in general. Like, just straight up, man. Let me get something new.
Yep. No more Drive Rush low forward canceled into Drive Rush, please. Or Drive Rush Fierce or whatever the hell Ken does. Crazy. Guilty Gear. I do think it's kind of weird that like they are releasing a character immediately after the start of the World Tour for Guilty Gear. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes the esports, department doesn't line up with the game development department, and that happens. Or maybe they do, and they just don't care, which is perfectly fine as well. You know what I mean? Second to last, but not least, let's get into some Street Fighter stuff, shall we? It's not.
I'm sorry, he did like two long pauses, and I'm like panicking because I think my internet went out, but your thought went out.
Oh, yeah. No, look, I was prescribed Adderall, and I'm still trying to figure out how to work on Adderall, like how my brain works on Adderall.
Really?
Yeah.
It's benefiting crazy. You? Dang.
No, it is. It is. It's a huge benefit because, like, dude, Adderall is a fucking upper, right? Like, it's supposed to make me bounce off the walls, but I feel very level. Like, I'm calmer. I don't understand how that works. That's beyond me. But yeah, I'm still new to it. I'm still figuring it out. So that's why, like, every once in a while, I'll just stop and be like, wait a minute. What's happening? Speaking of what's happening, this happened. That was a terrible segue, but, you know, we'll just go with it.
Where will this path of strife take
him? Strife.
Dude, like the Kurosawa vibes? I'm a fan. I'm also a fan that all these trailers have been like the World Tour intro. Just because I think this help, like, there are a lot of people who are super into Street Fighter VI World Tour, right? So giving them this is like, I think, the best way to like get people who are casuals to get excited about the game on top of just getting a new character and a new stage.
Good angle. We're good, Kurt. Angle.
Dude, I don't know if you feel this way, but to me, he looks like just Street Fighter V Akuma with an added move.
That forward heavy punch looking move reminds me of Oni.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they gave him that.
He also has the CVS2 chop from Demon Flip. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that move right there.
And he's got that sway move. People, cool players are going to do Fireball, Drive Rush, and then you try to check it. Sway. Like, come on, man. Sorry, dude. That move is sick.
Dude, I do think... Well, first of all, I just noticed that, like, the volcano back there is just, like, erupting and that's pretty sick. And then they gave him the $15 to $30 costume. Dude, that air fireball, I hate it already. Command grab out of...
I mean, you... I know how much you enjoy Fireball Dry Rush, but what do you think about Fireball in the air?
Dude, what if they gave him an air Fireball Dry Rush? Kind of like that. That'd be terrible.
You might be able to air Fireball and do the teleport command grab.
He has to spend hella meter, though. That's the thing. And we'll talk about that after the...
Air Fireball?
Yeah, he has to... Okay, hold on. after the trailer, we'll talk about it, because I'm getting my brain mixed up. But, dude, Ryu's eyes are in the back of his head. That's pretty funny. Sacrifice yourself to the Sunsui mentality. Yeah, and then for the first time, I think, in Street Fighter history, we get to see what this looks like.
Die a thousand deaths. It was in Street Fighter V. Sorry.
Well, no, but, like, we never saw, like, what the actual Raging Demon looks like. It was always been a dark screen, and then you just got beat up.
No, he would, like, spin around you and do circles, right?
Would he? Ah, no. I guess I blocked that out of my own memory.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Available now, but that's a lie, though. It's not available now. Street Fighter VI is available now. Akuma comes out on May 22nd, along with the new... do we call Season 2? I don't know if we'll call it Season 2. The new battle balance.
I wish we did. That would be fantastic if we had some communication on that front.
Very true. It feels like Capcom's kind of diving back into the old ways, huh? After all that goodwill they built up with Street Fighter VI and the release, all of a sudden...
Yep.
Yep.
Resting on their loins?
Their loins, nice. So what I mentioned about the air fireball is he has to spend meter to do demon flip fireball. That's the big change. Ah. He has to spend meter to do Demon Flip Fireball, and he has to spend meter to do Demon Flip Tatsu.
Did they show that, the Demon Flip Fireball? Because I wonder if it's two. He throws two fireballs like Shin Akuma.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I don't recall seeing it. I did a whole reaction video.
Yeah, me too. I don't remember. they did give him, like, that palm move, that wall splats, that's... I think you said that he only had that in Street Fighter 4. He also had that in Tekken 7. The wall splat.
Cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
So they're adding in a little bit of the Tekken 7 in there, which is pretty cool. The fireballs look really interesting. The fireballs look like Oni fireballs way more than I thought they would. Hmm. And I'm not sure if, like, Shakunetsu has its own fireball or if you just have to charge the fireball all the way to get.
It looks like a charge, and there is a screen shake. It shakes the screen when you're doing it. I thought there was a screen freeze at first. So I'm like, what? But nah, I checked the footage frame by frame. It's just a little detail. Yeah.
But here's the thing, and this has been so, we were talking about, like, the lack of communication from Capcom. Did you know that we can play Akuma as early as tomorrow?
How so, Elan?
In Japan, there's this amusement park that they have a real version of the Battle Hub that you can go to. And between May 1st and May 6th, Akuma will be playable at the real-life Battle Hub in this amusement park. Which is very interesting. But, like, this is one of those things where, like, I saw this and I was like, where was this announcement? I feel like this is a big deal.
May 1st through May 6th?
Yep.
Or is it May 1st and May 6th?
I believe it's May 1st through May 6th. Like, it's 1 week.
What?
Yeah, I think it's like 1 week. The Akuma week, if you will.
It's crazy.
Hold on. I'm actually zooming into the poster now to see if I can see it. May 1st. And then there's a dash, which usually means through. I could be wrong. But then it says May 6th, Monday, which is a national holiday, I guess. So, cool. But yeah, that's a cool little bit of a little bit of thing. If you live in Japan and you're next to that amusement park, Lagunasia or whatever it's called, you can go to the real life Battle Hub. I think that's really interesting, man. I'm a big fan of the Battle Hub. So the fact that they have a real life Battle Hub, I think it's really interesting. But that wasn't the only Street Fighter VI news we got. We also got the announcement of Capcom Cup 11. I'm not going to play the trailer because it's just the trailer for Capcom Cup 11, but we got information out of it. First is that the finals for, from my understanding, is for the first time in Capcom Cup history happening in Japan. And it is, I forgot the name of the Capcom Cup 11. What's the name of what's the name of the venue that it's going to be at? It's like that really famous, what do you call it? Dojo, or not dojo, sumo wrestling. The Ryogoku Kokugikan is a really, really famous sumo wrestling arena. It looks like this. Pretty badass.
Whoa!
But here's the thing. Do you know that this is not the first time that there will be a Street Fighter tournament at this venue?
Oh, Elon.
World Championships for Street Fighter 2 Super Turbo in 1993 took place at this arena. So 31 years later, they're returning to the place where they had Street Fighter 2 Super Turbo. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo at the same arena. So this is pretty cool. And the way I'm viewing this, the way I've seen how this arena is talked about, this is kind of like a Madison Square Garden type place. Like, it's a very important, like, very storied arena. So that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. Then on top of that, we got the 8 offline World Tour Premier tournaments that will be happening. It is Evo, followed by Cream City Convergence in Milwaukee. Then UFA in France, East Coast Throwdown, and the Singapore premiere are happening both in October. The Japanese premiere and Blink Respawn out of the Dominican Republic are happening in November. And then
nice.
And then the UK is getting its own King's World premiere in December. So this is cool. These are a lot of tournaments that I don't think we've seen have this type of, like, be a major like this before. I think East Coast Throwdown has been a Pro Tour stop before, especially because I think I remember they had an issue with, like, bracket floating a while back, so then they weren't part of the Capcom Pro Tour for a while. But now they're back.
Sheesh.
But there is one thing that I saw that kind of worries me, and this is just like a knee-jerk reaction type of thing. So, Cream City Convergence is a tournament that's happening out of Milwaukee. They are partnered with the Bucks, you know, the NBA team. And they put out a lot of information about that tournament recently, and here is some of that information. This is from Cream City Convergence. Hello, friends. We'd like to introduce ourselves to those that may be unfamiliar. C3 is a one-day tournament that is partnered with an NBA team, has a half-court basketball set up at the venue, is conveniently located in downtown Milwaukee, gives out cool bricks as trophies, is 15 minutes from the Milwaukee International Airport, features a dunk show from the Bucks entertainers, is organized by Midwest's very best TOs, has an entire section dedicated to lawn games, is supported by Gaming Generations, sells some of the most fire merch you'll see, and we'll do everything we can to make sure the best possible time at our event and leave happier than you arrived. Fire. Registered today. Now, it's a one-day event.
What?
That kind of took me by surprise. It is a one-day event. So, that got my brain spinning a little bit. It's like, can you do a full, like, premiere, like, Capcom Pro Tour stop in one day? I feel like there's going to be, like, at minimum, like, 500 to 1,000 people there, right? Because that's a big deal, especially since it's part of the Capcom Pro Tour. And then I saw one of the TOs were responding to questions on Twitter. I blurred out their name just because I don't know. I don't think this is, like, the most positive reaction I'll have on this show. That's why I decided to blur their name. But this is what they said in response to, is this actually going to be a one-day event? Yes, which is why we have caps in place. We're going to increase the Street Fighter 6 cap once we hit 256, but we have to guarantee we can finish it in one day. I
This is the big one. Oh!
I think that's a problem. Am I alone in thinking that?
Are you familiar with the name Gin Master?
It sounds familiar.
Gin Master? Heck no, you probably... This is way, way, way long time ago. There was a gentleman by the name of Gin Master who was... I'm not going to go too hard because I'm not that trussed up on the details, but some of his tournaments were not the best. I'm talking like there'd be a... He'd be at a Halo tournament with some fighting games on the side. The fighting games would be not ran well. It's one of those like really old school tournaments that where fighting games are not really, it's not cared about or not being ran to the best with people who are experienced. Those are the vibes I get from that statement.
Yeah. Man, it's... I don't know. My fears could be completely unfounded, right? Like, it could be something that where, like, 256 player cap isn't even reached. But it's a stop at the Capcom Pro Tour, right? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, 256 is, like, the minimum of how many people will be there. So, yeah, that leaves me a little bit worried. And I don't know the TOs. I don't know the tournament. So... But just from a logistical point of view, this seems like it's going to be a problem.
I think the best case scenario, which isn't that good of a scenario, best case scenario is all possible top players who want to be there on the second that they announce it, they register, and then all 256 great players from around the world get their spot. Kind of sucks because part of what makes tournaments really cool is that anybody can be there.
Yep.
But it feels like you need to have it as your job and ensure that you can attend. A 256-man tournament with a lot of great players, very doable and actually be pretty eventful and pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't think that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
They're just trying to save time.
Yeah. Especially, you know, with another $1 million on the line, right? Like, if you don't get to register for that tournament, like, that's devastating. Especially if you were banking on going to Capcom Cup. So, I don't know, man. I saw that, and a lot of, like, alarm bells started ringing in my head. I could be... My fears, again, could be completely unfounded. I feel like this would be something that, whenever they were discussing about this being a Capcom Pro Tour stop, they would have talked about. If they didn't, this is a pretty huge oversight.
If all it takes is one name, like, Jabali's helping out. Okay, maybe it'll be all right. Rick is helping out. Oh, cool. They could probably pull this off. But who? Who is it? I'm already wary. I don't go to tournaments because of this reason for the most part. It's because I go to many tournaments. The sound don't work. The monitor's got a little dead pixel in it. There's a laggy monitor. It doesn't have a high refresh rate. Systems are turned off. I got DQ'd at a CEO while they were doing roll call. I was right there while he was calling names. Name did not get called. He's whoop, not here.
Yeah, that happened at a Texas showdown to a friend of mine too.
Bail me out. He helped me out there. I was like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's a little scary. It's a little scary. That's all I'm gonna say. And like I said, like I don't know the tournament. I don't know the TOs. This could be completely unfounded, but just like my gut reaction is that this is a little on the scary side. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, and those were the announcements for Street Fighter VI. Is we got Akuma coming out at the end of this coming month. We got Capcom Pro Tour happening in Japan. We got 8 offline premieres. They didn't announce anything other than that. And again, this is one of those things where if they don't announce like regional premieres, or online premieres, or anything like that, and it's just those 8 tournaments. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be dangerous. A lot of alarm bells are ringing. A lot of alarm bells are ringing. But yeah.
Maybe the House of Cards is starting to get blown on.
Maybe. Maybe. But I saw Shayan is saying, so Capcom decided to not make Combo Breaker and CEO part of the tour, but give it to the most untested tournament out there. I don't know if it's necessarily the most untested tournament ever, but that is a really... Well... Evo is the first stop, right? And this was the same case last year, if I'm not mistaken. So both CEO and Combo Breaker are before Evo. And I think that's a very weird thing to do, right? Because especially since we all got so used to the Capcom Pro Tour season being from March to December. Now they're kind of, they've shifted it from that to June to March. Which, you know.
I'm thinking about the end of Capcom Cup and I'm hoping that it wasn't an omen. You know, the old $1 million. See ya.
Oh boy. Yeah, you're right.
Wait a minute. Man. Hey, come back.
Especially with when we were just talking about how it feels like Capcom is kind of dropping the ball in communications recently. Like,
yeah.
Woo! All right. That's scary. That's scary to think about. Let's move on. So I'm not scared anymore, please. I'm already scared of too many things happening in the world out there. Last.
City of Wolves might be sick. You can always play Third Strike, my friend.
the project formerly known as L as well. Oh, yeah, and there was a lot of information or a lot of footage coming out about that new Aiden game, the Hunter x Hunter game, the Hunter x Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
And that game just looks like Marvel to me, straight up. So I hope that makes people happy.
It does now that they put out good footage. Sorry, my microphone. I got to fix it real quick. Oh. I'll be right back.
No, do your thing. No, I was just saying, like, I think that Hunter x Hunter stuff, it looks like Marvel. And I really hope it scratches the itch that a lot of Marvel players have been having. And that 2XKO cannot scratch. So, the more games, the better, I say. You know what? Like, a lot of people are complaining about the visuals of that game. this microphone's just dancing. Dude, this just looks so funny. Oh! It's a ghost. It's the ghost of Marvel. We were talking about... Let's bring up Marvel, and the ghost of Marvel just shows up and starts... Oh, man, that was, I don't know, man. That was just funny just watching the microphone dance up and down.
I think I fixed it.
Got it? I'm going to leave this in. Even in the audio version, just because I feel like I want to relive this moment of watching the microphone just go, ooh.
It was coming off the edge of the desk. So I was worried, like, I might, you know, like, fall over and then, boom, wires, boom, mark on the wall. That's my wall.
Yeah. No, I already marked up this wall back here behind me, and I'm worried about it, so I understand. I understand. But we have one more announcement that happened over there at EVO Japan, and it was this one that I have to click the button for. Here we go. Dude, Panda having the Asuka move is crazy. Or not Asuka, I'm sorry, Ling Xiaoyu thing. The new stage. And this was a little bit of a spoiler. As soon as we saw that, I'm sure, like, all of us who suffered at the hands of Lydia recognized it. And photo mode. I still don't
be used for totally wholesome reasons, I'm sure, that the photo mode will be used for.
Yeah, dude, this I'm like kind of hyped up about the fact that they're adding to that story mode. The story mode I thought was sick. I didn't play it, but I watched a lot of other people play it, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. So the fact that they're adding onto that, I'm a fan of. And you know, we were talking about like how about Street Fighter adding stuff to the World Tour mode to appease the people outside of the competitive fighting game community. Like having stuff like this, I think is super important. So, and. They made it sound like it's free. They made it sound like it's free, so is that gonna restore a lot of the bad faith that Tekken's been getting recently?
Better be free. Better not have no brother.
Pew pew. Pew pew. And then the teaser. Yep. And the crowd goes wild. Well, you know what? I thought Lydia was a cool character. So, I'm excited to see her back. The fact that she's the Prime Minister of Poland to me is so fucking funny. But, yeah, so this is the thing. They said, at the very top, it says free updates. And then in the spring, which they announced, I think they said May 8th is when it's coming. There'll be a battle balance, which they released the patch notes for today. New stage, Seaside Resort, which is Lydia's home. The photo mode, which, man, I don't understand photo mode. I guess it's just not for me. Like you said, I think it's for you. Is for the people who...
It's thumbnails, bro.
Thumbnails?
Those are thumbnails.
Interesting. Okay, I guess I'm going to use it then. And then they have the new story, and they're adding online practice mode, which is cool. I'm a fan of online practice mode. And Ghost versus Ghost is going to be funny. I'm looking forward to Ghost versus Ghost. I think that's going to be pretty funny. Have you tried the Ghost battle at all?
Mm-mm.
It's actually interesting. It's really fun playing against your own ghost, but only after you've played, like, a lot of hours, right? Because you can kind of pick apart your own faults, right? Like, the ghost slowly learns, like, your tendencies on, like, how you move and, like, what combos you like to go for, or what buttons you use, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really cool to, like, kind of get that put in front of you. So you're like, hey, this is what you're fucking up on, dumbass. Now stop doing Snake Edge.
does it drop combos too?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's messed up. Or you can see how much you've improved.
Also, yeah. And I find it really cool, like, just downloading other people's ghosts. I think that's really interesting just to, because, like, look, the AI is not good, right? Like, I'm beating up, like, Anakin in Ghost Battle, right? Like, that would never happen. But it's cool to see, like, a little bit of the tendencies. Like, there's a little bit of a difference on, like, you can tell how he moves. Like, there's a lot of, like, some of the decision-making that he does that's on there. It's pretty cool. I did the same thing with Joe Crush, right? Especially since Joe Crush was, like, has been, like, really, like, killing it in the Tekken world lately. Like, you could see, like, some of the combos he goes for, like, how you can avoid some of the stuff that he likes doing. I think that's pretty interesting. Do I wish it were better? Yes. Is it cool still? Regardless? Yes. So seeing Ghost versus Ghost is going to be really interesting. I think that's just going to be funny. Dude, that's going to be so good for, like, running bracket simulations. Dude. Oh, man. Never mind. I'm not gonna give this idea out. I'm going to take it for myself and do it on my own. But anyway, along with that, they tweeted out that today we were going to get some patch notes, and patch notes we got. People seem very happy.
I'm checking my DMs because my friend sent me the patch notes for Tekken 8, and I was like, I don't give a fuck. I didn't bother looking at them yet.
So there is something in there that I think is going to interest you, and it's interested a lot of people, right? Because we talk about, like, the reward for offense and the reward for defense and how you get it feels like you get punished for blocking. So this was the first big block of text. And what this says is, I'm going to zoom in. In the scheduled release of version 1.1.04 on May 8th, and in the planned release of version 1.05 in June, gradual balance adjustments will be made to address the following issues. One, characters who are not able to fully exhibit their unique characteristics and strengths unique to Tekken 8. 2. Characters with disproportionately strong moves or high combo damage. And 3. Situations where one player dominates the attack, making it difficult to utilize defensive techniques effectively. In version 1.04, adjustments will be made focusing on strengthening characters falling under Category 1 mentioned above, while prioritizing the suppression of the move performance of characters falling under Category 2. For characters with no adjustments in version 1.04, such as Victor, Lily, King, Paul, Yoshimitsu, adjustments are also underway for their move performance in preparation for version 1.05. In version 1.05, and this is the important part, adjustments are planned to alleviate Category 3 and enhance the value of player defensive techniques by incorporating lateral movement strategies and adjustments to battle systems such as throws, heat dash, heat burst, etc. So.
Defense.
Yep.
Sounds like they're adding some more ways to defend yourself.
Yeah, or I think they're buffing what's already there, right? I think they're probably going to nerf throws to make sure that sidesteps are good again, because in Tekken 8, throws are tracking. Throws have, to my knowledge, never tracked. At least in Tekken 7, they didn't. They're also going to look at heat dash, heat burst, etc., etc. So, and this is exactly, I think we've talked about this. It just felt like offense is just so heavily rewarded. So the fact that they're going to focus on defense a little bit, I think, is exactly what this game needs. So I and others are very, very happy about it. And I have a couple of highlights here, if you will. A lot of people were saying, oh, Dragunov got nerfed to the ground. I don't think he did. I think they very fairly took a look at his moves. So here is some of the Dragunov changes. First, it's the down back 3+4, which is the move that's been killing everybody. The forward movement has been reduced, resulting in shorter reach. The increased distance between Dragunov and the opponent upon ground and down hits. Added 4 frames of recovery, changing the frame advantage on hit from +7 to +3. And they altered Dragunov's behavior when blocking to ensure that any character can punish with an aerial combo starter. Cool. Next, the back four 2-1, it's kind of what people use in neutral to like start pressure. The downward hitbox size of the first attack has been reduced, making it less likely to connect with opponents in a down state. Adjustments have been made to reduce the occurrence of the third hit whiffing after the second hit connects. That's huge, and I'm a fan of that. And added scaling of 70% has been applied to the combo damage when the third hit is a counter hit. So this is kind of one of those like weird frame trappy situations where you can delay the last hit, and a lot of people do get caught by that. So they've added a ton of scaling to that. They fixed back 1-2 and crouch dash 2 to make sure that you don't slip under floating opponents, which I think is a huge deal. This is, I think, the one change I kind of disagree with. Running 2. The frame advantage on block has been changed from +6 to +4. That is the one thing I think I kind of disagree with, mainly because that's kind of his main pressure tool, right? Is that running 2. For reference, in Tekken 7, it was depending on where on the move you hit, even on block, it was anywhere between +6 or +8, right? So making it a +4, I think, is a little bit not where I would have gone with that, but maybe in practice it'll make sense. During the game, it'll make sense. Who knows? Especially since he still has crouch dash 4, which is they didn't touch, which is terrifying. But yeah.
It's a really big deal to go from +6 to +4. If I recall correctly, if you do his running 2 and then heat smash when you're already in heat, that frame traps. So I think you will no longer frame trap if you do an attack.
Yeah.
So that has a big impact on the high-low and risk-reward dynamic. If you can no longer do another move and then be plus again.
Yeah.
I don't know the repercussions. I haven't thought or like looked at it thoroughly. But the idea of it sounds like one of a direction I like.
Mm-hmm. I think they should have done that with Crouch Dash 4 instead of Running 2, if I'm going to be completely honest. I think Crouch Dash 4 is a way bigger problem than Running 2 is. But, you know, I'm a Dragunov player, so maybe I just hate it because it hurts. Ah.
There it is.
But genuinely, though, that's literally the only like change that I saw that was like, ooh, right? Where everything else feels like it should have been the case before, I think. Especially,
yeah, I was trying to look through some Leeward buffs, and I just see up.
I have one here. So I played a lot of Leeward in Tekken 7, and I've been meaning to pick him up in Tekken 8. And I think this, like these specific changes, are why I played Leeward. So I'm super happy to see it. And I think it's a little bit too far on the positive side, if you will.
Really?
Yeah. here. So they changed Twin Dragon Gate, which is his parry. Upon successful parrying the opponent's attack, the recoverable gauge is now replenished by 3. What the hell is a recoverable gauge? I don't know. I think maybe it's white health.
No. That's when you parry with his... When you have heat activated and you parry, it replenishes your meter.
Oh, okay.
Parry and do Sabaki.
Got it. Okay.
And the thing about Leroy in Tekken 8 is when you do Hermit Step, Sidestep, 1 plus 2, that does chip damage and is advantageous on block. It's a high, but it does a ton of chip damage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're letting him regain more meter. The thing that I think is really, really interesting about this, if you see the second to last one there, after Superior Twin Dragon Gate succeeds, which I think is like the Just Frame parry, the follow-up.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it's the Just Frame.
Yeah.
The damage for the final attack
itself and...
What? Say again?
It may not be the Just Frame parry, but when you get a parry, you're able to hit that, I think, right?
Yeah, so the third to last one, the one right in the middle, it says, after Twin Dragon Gate succeeds, that is a successful parry, and the follow-up, which is either 1 or 2.
Superior, I'm sorry, I see.
Yeah, so the regular one, the damage for the final attack has been changed from 10 to 15, so more damage, and the opponent's behavior on hit has been altered to induce wall stuns, so it wall splats. Or, yeah, I think it's a wall splat. But this is the one that I think might be going a little too far, but I love it and I can't wait to try it. After Superior Twin Dragon Gate, which I think is the Just Frame parry, the damage for the final attack has been changed from 10 to 15. The behavior of the opponent on hit has been altered to allow for follow-up attacks.
Nice.
I think that's sick. So that's going to make me want to pick him up again for sure. And then the last one is back 3, which I think is a really good button. The damage has been changed from 20 to 27. Frame advantage on block has been changed from plus 8 to plus 9. And the behavior of the opponent on hit has changed to match the behavior on counter hit.
Wait, what? So,
those are really big deals.
Change the match behavior on counter hit. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up for me again.
Oh, sorry.
back 3. The behavior of the opponent on hit has been changed to match the behavior on counter hit.
Yep.
Dude, that is crazy. You might be able to... Wait, you can combo off of that on counter hit.
Yep. That's why I was saying.
You get Hermit 4. Hermit 4, 1 plus 2.
Yep, that's why I was saying. I think it's a little too far, but I can't wait to try it, and it sounds sick.
I mean, it is a slow back 3, and it's high, so you can duck it on reaction. But god dang!
Yep.
That's really good.
Yep. This is Jack 8. Now, this was a cursory glance. I didn't look at all of them, so there's stuff I'm missing, of course, which I'll have to dive back into so we can cover for next time. But I saw this one for Jack 8. When transitioning to the Gamma Howl stance, the remaining time on the heat timer now recovers by 30 frames. So, more heat meter, I'm assuming. When successfully intercepting the opponent's attack with 3 plus 4 in Gamma Howl, the remaining time on Heat Timer now recovers by 90 frames, and additionally restores 10 of the recoverable health gauge. When intercepting subsequent attacks, only 5 is restored to the recoverable health gauge. Now, this makes me think that the Leroy thing, the recoverable gauge, is like the recoverable health, and that's just a typo.
Hmm.
Right? Because they specifically said... The remaining time on the heat timer now recovers by 30 frames. So, it could be a translation thing. It could be a typo. It could be whatever. We're going to have to see next week on May 8th. Which, by the way, when is May 8th? It is Wednesday. Fuck! They always do it right after our show. And then last but not least. Oh, no. Those were the 3. It was Dragunov, Jack, and Leroy. Yeah, those were the 3 I wanted to highlight because those are the 3 I knew about. And that I could speak on. But it seems like the reception for this patch is relatively positive. I feel like a lot of people are happy with some of the stuff. There are a lot of characters that people feel were untouched, but they said that they're gonna get them for the June update, right? And the fact that they specifically said, hey, we realize defense kind of sucks, so we're gonna try and fix it is.
It turned into the Fonz. Hey, what's going on? Yo. Yeah, I can't block out here.
Hey, I'm blocking here. But yeah, I think that's really exciting. You know, it's funny how, like, with Capcom, they're like, oh, balance change is coming May 8th or May 22nd. And Akuma. All right, see ya. And with Tekken, they're like, here are patch notes. And here's what we're planning for the future. So.
They both got a thing or two to learn from each other, I think. Absolutely. More Lydia footage would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. And, they haven't announced when she's coming out at all, I don't think. I think they just said summer. So maybe she's coming in that June update. Who knows? Who knows? But Automatic, out of five, what do you give this past weekend with all these tournaments on a scale of 1 to 5?
I want to give it a 5 because I'm starting to, selfishly, I'd like to give it a 5 because I'm realizing the power of using other people's content for your own. Mm-hmm. Reaction. Dude, I just think, like, it's people that just watch other people's videos that took hours upon hours and weeks and days of editing. They just watch it and talk about it. Boom!
Yeah.
Wow. This is easy.
Yeah. I wrote this on Twitter to your post. I think it's because people want to feel validated in how they react to something. Yeah. So they're looking for other people's reactions to, like, make sure that they have the correct reaction, if you will.
Or to relive the excitement.
True. I'm a big fan of watching, like, crowd reactions to stuff. Like, Evo crowd reaction videos, like, those are, like, whenever I'm feeling, like, extra depressed, like, I'll just put on, like, the Negan reveal or something and just see people freak out for no reason.
Geese.
Yeah, geese. Dude, that was sick. Yeah, like, I have like, the most popular YouTube video on our channel is the Bridget reveal and, like, people freaking out at Evo. It was sick.
Nice.
But anywho, I just realized, like, we're deathly over time, and I apologize. It is 7:50. Is there anything else you wanted to say about what we spoke about today, about EVO Japan Tournament, Capcom Pro Tour, Tekken 8?
Nope. I think we all covered it.
Okay, sick. Then let's get out of here before, I don't know, something happens. All right, everybody, this has been another episode of Best of 5. I want to thank you all for joining us. If you like the show, please follow us at Best of V Show on everything. You can catch this live on Twitch every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. You can follow Automatic at Automatic. You can catch him at twitch.tv/Automatic doing really cool shit. I tuned in and he was, like, doing some stuff at Third Strike that I didn't even know, like, existed, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, he did his reaction to the Akuma trailer. So it's always a fun hang over there. It's always a fun hang over there at the World's Strongest Laboratory.
Today I learned that Oro builds less meter than everybody else. What?
Is it because he's old?
Possibly. I didn't think about that.
No, you know what we need to do? We need to get one more person and do, like, what's that called? What's that game? Rumble Club. Do, like, some Rumble Club trios or something.
Wonder how that's doing. I played it for one day and I liked it, but I didn't feel like playing it anymore.
I played it a little bit this morning. There's a shit ton of people still playing.
Cool.
Yeah. We need to go. We need to get 56K and bring back the. Yeah, we need to get 56K and bring the trio back. Especially the thing I really like about that game is footsies.
Yep. It's actually just spacing.
Yeah, it's really fun. I like it.
And whip punishing.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I messaged Greg about it. He was like, man, what is this game? And then that was the end of the conversation.
All right. Well, let's get Triumph then. I saw Triumph playing it. We'll get like a Rumble vs. Crew in there. We'll get a Rumble vs. Crew in there. All right. That's it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Automatic, thank you for being here as always. Wee, 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 wee. Honor and a pleasure, sir. I still can't believe you agreed to do this show and just come hang out while I just, like, brain vomit everywhere. For an hour.
I like it. It's a fun hang.
Oh. Well, that makes me happy. Anyway, let's leave on the high note then. Let's get the fuck out of here. Thanks, everybody. Until next time.